In the class tomorrow because of the weather. I'm not sure what it's going to do. So I'm going to ask about it. We'll see it. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your grace. And we appreciate everything you've done for us. We're just thankful for who you are and who you've been to us and the things that you've done for us and the places that you brought us to. We understand that we're nothing without you. Nothing means anything without you being involved. So we thank you for it. We thank you ahead of time, Holy Spirit, touch these words so that they become alive to us. Not just words on the page, but alive in our hearts and alive in our lives so that we can live them out and realize what you think and how you feel about us and what you expect from us and what you expect to come through us and how you expect to use us. We thank you, God. As long as we thank you for a right perspective on your will, we thank you that we see your will not foggy or not as men walking like trees, but we see it with clarity. We see it clear through scripture. God, let us see the vision the way you see it. Let us see ministry. Let us see ministry and ministering to people the way that you see it. The way that people you want to do it exactly like you planned and exactly like you called for it to be. And so we thank you ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. I don't know. I've been preaching since I was about 18. So, about 18, almost 14. That's the word of God. I've been in church forever. I really don't know where we've been. I started hearing about this grace message and hearing about, I don't know what. As a matter of fact, what will we call it grace before this? Like, what do we call it? You know, we say, all y'all know it. If I start singing right now, oh, man, all y'all know it. All y'all know the song. We're singing from top to bottom. We've been singing it for years. They sing it all through slavery and everything. And we've been talking about the greatest of mercy. We've been saying these things and saying these things. We've been talking about God love us. And we've been saying these things over and over again. I don't really think we got a grip of it. I don't really know if we knew what we were talking about. I thought we might have been saying it because somebody told us it was. Or we were saying it because it's a churchy thing to say. You know, we quote because we love God for what? His first love or right? So we quoted it. I don't think we knew what that meant, though. I don't think we knew the significance that statement has in our being. In the significance that statement has in the makeup of who we are and how we function. We just thought God had affection for us. And so, you know, he thought, well, we really thought was God liked us a little bit, but he wasn't that pleased with us. Oh, come on. We thought that he felt for us, and overall, he loves us. But he wasn't that pleased with how we are. So we all know we thought it. That's what we thought. The three of the most powerful words that I ever put together in the history of life is God loves you. That's the most powerful things you ever hear. It don't sound powerful right now. Don't sound deep. But God loves you. Should have been the first thing you learned when you came into the body of Christ. Should have been the first thing that you got a revelation on when you came to Jesus. Now we start saying, all right, now this prayer, this is a faith going, right? And we start saying, hey, now you got to know how to profess the word. Now you saved, now you need to know how to profess this word. You saved, now you need to know how to pray in these tongues, right? You saved, now you need to know how to read these scriptures. The first thing you should learn was that, and God first grip on the understanding that God loves you. One of the most important scriptures in the Bible is what? Come on, ask another question. Huh? Oh, y'all know what it is? John 3, come on, say it. Come on, come on, come on. We was in our prayers and had everlasting life. We've been quoting y'all. I heard people giving somebody was going to NIV games. I heard they heard enough. It says, we've been proving for years. For God so loved the world that he gave. So what did he give? He gave some money. He gave a couple of lambs. No. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, how many? Whosoever does what? Believe in what? Believe in the word? You know, here's what we're talking about. Jesus asked, what's going to happen next? A part? So when does everlasting life begin? Huh? Did you begin? No. So, so we learned about the book going all over the place tonight, right? So, for God so loved, no, for God so loved the world that he gave the Lord of God, so that whosoever believeth on what? In him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, that means God loves me, so God gave for me, and I'm going to just believe what he gave, and I won't perish. And I have everlasting life. So that's the case. Why am I perishing? If that's the case, why is there a perishing spirit in the church? If that's the case, why do so many perish? If God still loves the world, I'm not even talking about the world right now, I'm talking about first people, Christians, born again, born perishing. Ready? For God so loved the world. For what purpose? For the world that he gave. That whosoever lives should not perish by everlasting life. 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 But the apostle chances and the thing that they believe. Although they said they call it Christian, right? How do you get it to know? They're going to listen to me. The Christian told me, God can't live the world. There's somewhere, there's a gap somewhere in your belief. I got to go to the scripture, we're going to read them. But we can sit here all night and read the verses and live by the book if we wanted to. Because for God to love the word, then he's going to be done. So he's going to believe in my prayers, but I'll never last a life. And I said, I believe, but if I got a parenting situation, something is wrong with my believing. I don't never say I don't believe in Jesus. Because you never say that, right? Because I believe that he can really die for you, right? Right? And why does the parenting come in? If you really believe, where does the parenting come in? There's a trick to that. Do you believe or you don't believe? There's a problem somewhere. I don't know where we've been. I don't know what we've been thinking. We've been quoting this scripture forever, but we've just been denying the fact that God just loves us no matter what. See, we for God so loved what he gave, he's going to get a little bit of belief, so that's his everlasting life. we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, right? And we say that we believe that he died for our sins. Don't we? We can't believe that, don't we? But why would you work all the time? This is my thing that they didn't say, and we're going back to Moses and say, why can't we deal with so much guilt? Why do we deal with so much guilt consciousness? Why are we so guilty? Why are you so guilty? Yeah, I know, I don't mess up. I'm not talking to myself. Why are you so guilty? Anything you believe on him, you're going to perish for the last life. The problem is, when you believe in somewhere, you don't really believe that God so loves you. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know whether we're preaching all this or telling people, I don't know what we've been doing. But somewhere along the line, in your psyche or in your understanding or in your revelation in your mind, you don't have a revelation of the fact that God loves you no matter what. Listen to the Savior. God loves you no matter what. It ain't nothing you're going to be able to do to make him love you more because he already loves you to the maximum. And so there is nothing that you're going to do to make him love you less. You don't step back away from the love of God. I'm not expecting you to death, no death, no out. Nothing. What's not in the nothing? Nothing steps back away from the love of God. So if I begin to perish, or if I'm passing, there's some way that I didn't take the fact that God really so loves me. There's somewhere that I missed the message. There was somewhere that I missed it and I didn't believe fully to the fact that my mind is fully convinced that God loves me no matter what. Could you really say it? Say it, God loves me. Come on, say it again, God loves me. Come on, say it again, God loves me. Now, this is a question. Where are the other things, but how many times have we said it in our lives? I've been thinking for years. I appreciate the fact that you just love on me. I'm grateful that you love me enough to give for me, even though I wasn't really worth it. So, you know, we go through the difference. We got revelation over here, we got this revelation over here. But you realize our faith was working by. Faith was working by. So, I can't really have faith if I don't really got a revelation of. And so, what happens is we don't really know. If God loves us. Now, I'm saying it right now with a plan, but knowing without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you, just calm the look on your mind. You got to get a revelation of that. You don't need to say, God loves me, I understand that. But when the consciousness comes up, what about the next time you do something you think you shouldn't be doing? Look at what the man said. God gonna give me. I don't see that in that scripture. I don't really see God from my giving nobody ever. We came up with that because we were scared of sin. You don't have no penalty on them, but everybody gonna do what they want to do. When you don't realize that, the scripture says the first time, we love God because what? First love us. So that means if he first loves us, when we get a revelation of his first love in us, it's cause and effect. Be called. Just be the cause. We love God. Just be the cause. He loves us first. But I can't we're just trying to love God, and it's not how much you love God. It's about how much. But I can't, it's not about, let's just say it. It's not about how much you love God. You ain't got enough. You ain't got enough time to read really enough of the love of God. You ain't got enough time, your phones ain't that deep.
You're not spiritual. You're not deep enough to reach that depth. So what God is going to do is get you off of you. Get you off yourself. You need to learn these books. And learn all these things that we have to do. I don't have a problem with doing it. I don't have a problem with reading the word. I don't have a problem with praying. Do that. I pray, read too. But listen, you got to do it from the right perspective. You can't be trying to prove nothing to God. What are you going to do? I hope we gave the related message. As we go minister to people, we go related message. Where have we been? We only love God because this be the cause. And we only love God because we first love us. So it tells me that if I don't get a revelation that He loves me first, hold up. Do you love me? First. But He don't love me after I did nothing. The first thing God decided to do about me was love me. He loved correctly. And God said it ain't in the pool. You realize there's nothing you can do to equal up to what I did, right? You realize you don't have enough money, you don't have enough press time, you don't have enough anything to reach up to what I did for you. And I did it just because I loved you. Not because you were good. We all had our own good moments, ain't we? Huh? What about that? Just because he loved us. So, this type of love is the best for him, day or mine, if you don't watch yourself because you can't conceive it. You can't reach this type of love. You can get a revelation of the fact that it just is, but you can't reach it. But if you ever get a revelation of it, what will happen is, this is why life has been hard. This is why this has been called. And we pray long, don't get no answers. And we confess long, but don't get no healing. We confess long, but don't get no manifestation. Our families don't change. The family member that we're praying for don't get born again. The habit that we're trying to break, we can't break it. The habit that we want that person trying to break, we can't break it. We can lay hands, put all and everything on them, right? This is why I just sold my fees and I ain't had no breakthrough yet. Here's why. Because we're trying to do so much stuff to prove to God that we love Him. And God is telling us. Huh? God is telling us what you want to love now. He loves you anyway. He don't say for God. He's being real, but I know some people. They believe this. God telling us, we can tell us if you don't love Him or not. God said this. This love. God said, love. I ain't looking for that new thing. I just don't love you. Because I'm looking for something on the phone all the time, and it goes by work, dude. That's what you can do to get to the love. It's not about what you can do. You gotta break it down. We gotta break this down. Okay. God is trying to love you. I'm just gonna give you my love. Whether you come to me or not. I'm just gonna love you. So what we do, what we do, what we do, it's too good to be true. This can't be it. I got proof of God. Right? You start quoting these scriptures when you read them out of context. Read them out of the book. And when we don't know who you're talking to. We just find a scripture that we want that's going to fit the idea that we want to preach. That's what we do. We find this one scripture. Jesus said the same about women. Hello? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? What are they talking about? What are they talking about? He's going to go. Jesus Christ is going to be the same yesterday and then forever. The really going to change, right? What does that do with your life, then? You know what I'm saying? Let's keep it to your heart be established in grace. How long have you read this scripture? Every year. We take it out of context and we don't even get the belief that it really has. Don't do this when you start doing it. Don't preach it. Preach it. Don't preach it. That's not what the weak do. Should do. Let me get that scripture. Let me get Amos 7 and 9. Okay, we got the same words. Romans 9. But that's the same thing that I want to say. Because remember, the Bible gave me to go to the people. So that's the same thing I want to say. So let me take these scriptures. And we're going to pull them totally out of, we take them and put them totally out of context, and you don't know what the heck you're talking about. You don't know what was going on. You don't know, were you talking to a sinner or were you talking to a saint? Well, I'll say this question. Put down one line over there. Found down there? Yeah. You can do it right there. We can do it. You're talking to sinners, though. You know what I'm talking about? You gotta find out what's going on in this world before you start running out here preaching. You took that favorite part of the scripture to preach your text. It ain't about your text. What are we trying to reach to? What does it mean? What is God trying to say? We do this, we do like a connection with God, right? The God box. So we take a scripture right here, scripture right here, scripture right here, scripture right here. And then we say, we do it by the word. We preach about the word. More about the context of that word that you're preaching. Come on, preacher. Come on, Reverend. Y'all didn't know about it. Me too. I got 10 scriptures on my paper. And all of them got the word believe in there. So I feel like they're all from my text. So what we end up doing. What we end up doing is we over here, we don't understand. We don't really have a revelation of the love of God. So we feel like the place without work is, right. So there we go. So that means we have to work. Come on, man, come on. So what I'm going to do is, what I'm going to do is, I'm working towards God. So now my reading is for God. My part-time is for God. And when I come to church, you know why people don't go to church? You know why church don't be packed like that? You know why? Because it should be, right? Everybody's going to get this love. Well, are we giving the love, number one? Are we identifying the love of God, number one? And the love of God ain't got nothing to do with, hey, good morning. Don't talk about nobody because we got to love everything. There's so much deeper. Y'all know, see, we get the love message. What the fuck are we saying? Don't even start talking about people. You need to be kind. Love is kind. And good reason to be in prison. Y'all know what I'm saying. But we have nothing to do. Y'all see how circus we are? We're so circus that we don't ever get to the point that the love of God is deeper than anything we'll ever know. You have to have a revelation of it, and it has to be worked for you. You can't. The love of God, you can't work the love of God. The love of God has to, you have to be an open vessel and God loves through you. That's the only way it's going to happen. We ain't built like that. So we work the word, read, pray. You're going to come to church because they feel like they're doing God. I'm paying my homage. pay my dues. Like y'all said, I know about paying dues. I pay my dues. I'm doing my duty for this week. I want God to be mad at me on Monday when I go to work. So therefore, I better be in the church house on Sunday. You know why I said you packed on New Year's Eve? Because everybody thinks Jesus put it back on the first. So if I get caught, I want to be caught in the church. In the house of God, we have no clue who God is. We have no clue who ever God. And so now, we struggle from the church because we thought we needed from the church to please God. But no, I forget to come to church because God loves me. If I really got a revelation of how much God loves me, I'll be trying to bust down the door to see where he is. So now my perspective has changed on when I study my word. Because I'm not like, I was talking to a young man today and say, but wait, what you study the word for? Well, I said, be close to God. Right? So you know, get with God. So I read the word, and I pray in the spirit hard, because I'm sweating. So my throat get whole. And my throat prays so hard, and the flesh is going to sit up. And your stomach got tight around. I gotta get to God. You get to God, huh? So you're not there? So, what you're telling me is, so before you pray, before you read the word, you wasn't close to me. I'm asking. Before you prayed and read that word that day, so you wasn't close to God right there? If I prayed and read to get close to God, then that means that there was a time that I wasn't close to him. But the people that I know that we don't want close to God are born again. Because the Bible told me, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells. And then you're going to come into the spirit because greater is he that is, than he that is in the. So how can I get close to him on the inside? So where was you at then? Where was you at? We didn't want to be right with God. So you're not right with him? You're not right with God. So you're telling me that when you picked up your Bible and you read that half a chapter that you read, it made you right with him. That was enough? That was the price that was paid? That stop that you did when you got the cross. Y'all know. When we get about 3.5 strong minutes, that was enough, and now you're close. See, your perception determines your reception. The revelation that you have of something determines can you receive that something? Now, what revelation do you have on the love of God? You already have it, but do you receive it? I'm not catching that for a second. You already have it. It's almost like having running all around you before God run up. Those kind of people going to the thing and do the basketball game. They put them in the little box and they throw the money out there. They got a grab. They're like, hey, get all around you just like this. But you complain about you ain't got nothing. All around you. But you got it. Do you believe it though? Because if you believe in on the inside of you, but you still need to get close to it, you really don't believe you on the inside. Come on, y'all. I'm playing songs. I'm trying to get where God at, get closer to God. I'm trying to get right with God. No. All you doing is changing your mind. You're on the right mindset. You know what I'm saying? Getting off yourself and getting on him. But you always, see, it's always like you're in the presence of greatness and don't even know. All the time. If we really realize what's really going on in our lives, we'd be doing more. One of the beautiful things about Jesus, when Jesus stepped into this world, and when he lived his life, he knew exactly who he was. He knew nothing. He said, my father's in me, and I'm in my father. He thought he was crazy when he was talking like that. He said, what you see me do, my father told me to do. We and my father, we were. If you don't follow, I was always talking about it. We were. He knew that we were one. He knew that we and my father were one. He knew that there was nothing that was going to separate us. And so now, the power. Now we can break bread and multiply. Now we can lay hands on sick and make cells recover. And there's nothing we can do about it. We lay hands on blind eyes and they'll open. We lay hands on dead people and they rise up. Finally, walking on the water somewhere. Now I got this power over everything around me because I understand my relationship with my father. Not God, my father. So what time James called the third God as God? My God is really on the cross. He said, my God, why is God forsaking me? So what time? What time is talking about my father? Do you know the time the only reason he said my God at the time and he screamed out, why is God forsaking me? Because he wanted to understand that everybody understands that that moment he took it on everything that wasn't of him. So that we can have everything that wasn't of us. He said, my God, so we can say my father. He said, God has not forsaken me, so we can say, Father, thank you for not forsaking me. What did Jesus, you ready, Bible school, already? All right? It's the way I look, I don't know what you're asking. What was it that Jesus took upon him? When he went to the cross, he took it to the throne. The king of the world, that's mine, right? He took upon the sins, huh? But what does it mean, you know, to me? Right? You know, to me. What does it mean, to me, huh? Come on, come on, man. So how did he take upon the sins of the world? He didn't do nothing. So how did he take upon he didn't do that for him. I used to come on. Now, I wouldn't go to Winnie Lucy. There's the cross of the Savior. That ain't what he took the sins on. How did he do it? How did he do it? Jesus beat himself, he never took to the cross. So what did Jesus take upon our sins? His love for us, huh? The out of obedience is good, his love for us, good. Step away, you ready? Thank you, Savior. That's it. He made a conscious choice to receive our sins upon him even though he knew it. So, but he won't do that for us. Huh? Okay, so if he did that for us, then if it was that simple for him to pay a price and take a man on by just receiving, then how do we pick up on his lifestyle? No, we gotta go get to work. Because Jesus went out there and did all the work. He did everything that was on him. He did them so he could pick up on. That's how it happened, right? No. He didn't mean no sin, became sin, received upon himself. So, just as Jesus on your side received sin, received our penalty, received what we were supposed to have, we come over here and receive his blessing, and receive his redemption, and receive his lifestyle, receive what he's supposed to have. Receive. It'll be all around you, but if you don't receive it, you can't have it. Look at that everywhere. Look at that all around you. Wake up in the morning, you ain't played a stop out yet, right? You ain't played a 50 yet. And the love still there. How old is the woman? With a guilt consciousness. She has a guilt consciousness Oh, you have a sin consciousness, that means you have an evil consciousness. Okay, sin. Sin. The word is sin. Sin, right? Sin is evil. Very well. Sin is sin, right? You can equal that. Sin is evil, right? So if I got a sin consciousness, that means I got an evil consciousness. If I'm just conscious of my sins, I'm just sin in general, then I got an evil consciousness. And as I think, therefore, as I keep thinking, so is he. But now he says, I remember your sins no more. He said, I remember your sins no more. Now, what's the problem about that to me is that God is all known. He was the one that all known to forget something. Because he willfully and consciously decided not to remember. How crazy is that? If he decided not to remember,
We play on Mondays, and I could go to the position I sat and play on Mondays, so I leave class. I woke up, I don't know what happened to me that morning, but I woke up late. Anybody ever done it before for this night? Woke up late, and you're in the top of it, yeah. You know, first time home, you get out the house, you get out the house, right? Now, I ran out of the house without a lick of breath. Uh-oh. You're in trouble, huh? You did not get out the home without praying the Holy Ghost? You were just too old to you, didn't mean to God, I didn't have time. I was living running and I was trying to get there, but I was not trying to get in trouble. So I'm rolling. Wait a couple of times, I'm almost in the room. In the car. But y'all know how it is. Y'all paid them quickly. Thank God it's not about that, amen. Thank God. I'm not a son of God. It was still the same. I got there, but I was like, I started getting guilty. Y'all know we get guilty when we don't pray enough. Well, we don't know, so we think God ain't talking. God always not talking, but we think he ain't talking. So because you think he ain't talking, you can't hear that. As I think, and you think it, so he is. My conscience just blocked my situation. So because I thought that he was mad at me, or because I thought that I wasn't worthy enough to hear his word, because I didn't do enough to get to the point, I wasn't enough enough to hear his word in that moment, I didn't hear anything. So I thought the good part coming for me. And I was just getting to the point where he was a great message, and I was getting in my head, you gotta love it, but I gotta remind myself of one, God loves me no matter what. Because he loves me, it makes me want to see what he got to say. It makes me want to read, it makes me want to think like him, but I want to know what the love thinks like, all right? Well, okay. I'm coming in.
I didn't have enough gunk and anointing to lead prayer that morning. So God wasn't talking to me. So I was always setting my mind up to where I'm just going to read the scriptures. This is the preacher says, and we just pray on through it. And I opened it up, and I'm cold. And the Lord started giving me a revelation on, he said, you got to get a revelation of who Jesus is so before you can know who you are. He said, the more revelation you get of who Jesus is, the better you can be who you're supposed to be and do your job the way you're supposed to do it. And I said, that's good, God. He said, I'm not going to give me a revelation. You know how to do it. You know how to do it, man. You know how to do it, man. But God loves, it's not built on my merit. Listen, God wants to talk to you. It's all the time. Even in the midst of that moment when you thought you were at your worst. What do you think God threw out your worst? What do you think of God that brought you out of that moment when you thought you were at your worst? So you thought the Lord wasn't there? So I was told, so my purposes, so my good purposes, would have kept me from hearing the revelation of what God wanted to show me about Jesus that morning. I don't miss out the whole thing if I allow myself to be guilty. No, the thing is, God loves me. God ain't mad at me. God loves me. God is my friend. I'm the righteousness of God. Who calls Jesus? That's it. All I'm righteous. Right now, at this moment. Listen, we got to convince ourselves. Can't work for the love of God. You can't work for the love of God deep. I know. It's like this, right? It's like this. Love of God is what you put your hand on. Huh? There we go. And the love of God pushes me towards God reading His Word. He pushes me towards God praying the Holy Ghost. But I'm not doing it because I'm trying to love God with my time, with my time, with my thoughts. I'm not doing it because I'm trying to love God. Huh? The love of God, I came in contact with the love of God and it's not supposed to lead me to another place. It's not me off into another realm. So now I fall in love with Jesus. You understand, right? And now I'm back to the point where I'm in love with Him so much to where I'm just looking for Him. I'm looking for Him in everything. So now, I'm looking for Him now because I'm looking for Him. I'm not trying to hide from Him like Adam and Eve in the Bible because I was scared because I knew that I was naked. And I knew that come on, guys, with the revelation. I look for my voice so I go hide from God. How do you do that anyway? Where is that? So where he can't find. You know, God, you thought he didn't know your heart already? We said God would put him in this box and we put him under these rules and these things that we figured out. And what happens is really the truth of the matter is love is too big for us to continue. There's no way for us to ever wrap our mind around it. It's just constantly being unfolded. Constantly being revealed to us on a day-by-day, minute-by-minute, second-by-second basis. It is constantly, God's love is constantly being revealed to us, and that's the only way we can just take it in, bit by bit. You're never going to understand the full function of God's love, but what happens is with us, we can't perceive it, and so it makes us nervous, and so we got to put something on it. I need to define it, because it's too much for me, but it's supposed to be too much for me. Perfect love cast out fear. What you praying for? So God so loves, you'll never see a sister the same again in your life. And I think if you never see it, if you see it differently, you can deliver it differently. Come on. I can't give nothing that I haven't received already. I didn't receive the point, I can give you this point, right? I can't give nothing that I have not received, and I will not receive until I perceive. Come on. So I perceive it, and then I receive it, and then I can deliver it to somebody else. So not my witness. I'm a witness by the love of God to somebody. Why are people ain't getting saved? Why we have our lose a witness in the church? Y'all know it. We dole it off to maybe what they find. Yeah, y'all know we dole it off. We dole it off. Let the whole world, the pot of water, but God gave the increase. I'm going to believe that anybody that's really come in contact with the unadulterated love of God, the reverence of love of God, you can't save yourself. I guess you could, but I think the love would compel you to not say no. I know the greatest thing we got is as far as I understand. Y'all know what the love of God did for you, right? Oh, but that same thing that brought you and got you going again and delivered you, the same thing that with you all the time, it didn't change. You cannot pay for everything for nothing, and God ain't gonna stop loving you. Don't tell nobody that. You better not come back, or we're not gonna pray. Who they hurt?
We got to get it. God loves you.
Don't look at me. I'm with you. God loves you. You listen to something in the mirror and say, God loves you. Pray God for a second. Just like a look at ourselves. Come here.
God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me.
I'm not going to be able to do it. Because of me, you love me. So we say these different things, I don't think we understand what we're saying. God loves me. And when I get a revelation of that, it changes my whole world. It changes my whole being. It changes my whole function. It changes my whole flow. The love of God begins everything in me. It's the beginning of my anointing. Huh? It's the beginning of that. It's the beginning. This is the God even using you to be anointed. God loves me. So when we read these scriptures, we go to 1 John, or we go to John 3:16, we go to 1 John 4, or we go to 1 Corinthians 13, we read these love scriptures, understand what you are talking about. It's not a little thing you're throwing around and you're saying, no, it's a real deep situation. It's deeper than we know. You get up and drown in that love. You get down in that love and drown in that love. You get a concept and a revelation of how much God loves you. You attach on it, it'll never be a struggle again. Y'all know the struggle. You're reading. And you'll be a struggle. I'm going to read different chapters to make sure I got it. How many chapters does it take? How many chapters does it take to get along? How many chapters does it take to get along? You ain't got it, huh? Because it don't exist. Change your mind. Change your mind about it. Stop thinking the same about it. You go over and you pull me to God. Look at it. Oh, God loves me. Say it's good revelation. Say it's good revelation. And you're going to the same. That's it. It's not going to work more for you, but you become more aware of it. Oh, we're going to go. Thank you.